The following podcast is part of the Never Nervous Network, a podcast network showcasing the best and brightest new shows coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. Catch up on all the local haps with the Never Nervous podcast. Get your horror movie fix with The House by the Video Store. Discuss hot button topics with the Parade of Horribles podcast. Hear an actual conversation on actual conversations, and then get wild with me, Sean Thriller Smith, on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The Never Nervous Podcast Network is available on iTunes, so like, subscribe, rate, and review. Keep up to date on everything going on in Louisville, Kentucky with the Never Nervous Network. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. Hope everyone had an awesome Easter weekend. Hope you guys got enough Reese's peanut butter eggs to hold you off until next year. I had a great weekend. Just going to tell you that right off the bat. Spent almost all of it in Indianapolis, hanging out with my family there. Went to the Kiss convention. If you're a big Kiss fan, I'm a huge Kiss fan. So I was there on Saturday. It was pretty awesome. Had a lot of great drinks while I was up there this weekend. Went to Upland. Great beer. The Upland Wheat is one of my absolute favorites. So I got to go up there and check that out. Also got a shout out to Sun King. That's my favorite beer. So went to Sun King and just hung out with family. Got to have some drinks, listen to some awesome music. It was a great time. I just got back a few minutes ago and I wanted to go ahead and record this. On the show today, I've got Zach Pennington. Zach Pennington's from the band Light Treasons. You might remember Light Treasons being mentioned all the way back in episode one with my interview with Clay Nevels. Clay is in Light Treasons. Zach's in Light Treasons also. But that's not our main focus today. Zach is kind of a marketing guru. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. And he's going to be talking about Light Treasons, but he's also going to be giving some awesome like life advice, awesome marketing advice. So if you ever have a dream or a plan or something that you want to put into motion, this one's a really inspirational, motivational podcast, I should say. He's got a venue opening up here in the next couple weeks called Flying Axes, which is a venue where you throw axes. Pretty awesome. You'll hear him talk all about it. And that's really catching on. I mean, I saw, you know, videos of Jason Momoa, you know, from Game of Thrones and Aquaman or whatever, throwing a lot of axes. This is going to be the same type of scenario. So you can go, you can get together with your friends on a Friday or Saturday night, throw some axes, have a few beverages. It's going to be all good. He's going to be on the show today. And like I said, it's real inspirational, real motivational. So I'm very happy with how that turned out. Also, I got my Alvarez Kings album on Friday. Sounds awesome. If you haven't yet, pick it up. It's on Amazon, iTunes. It's everywhere now. It's called Somewhere Between. And last week's podcast has done awesome. I thank everybody for tuning into that. If you haven't yet, do so. You're going to find like your new favorite band. So that's cool. Yeah, and if you haven't yet, please give me a 5-star rating on iTunes. Great segue there, bro. But yeah, all the ratings and reviews, I thank everyone that has done it. If you haven't, if you have a few moments, please feel free to do that. That's what the bigwigs look for. Sponsors look for the ratings and reviews. And also, too, the more ratings and reviews and positive feedback, you know, the more visibility you have on iTunes, which means more listeners. So please do that. Big shout out to you guys for tuning in every single week. Big shout out to Never Nervous Network. Big shout out to Audiophile Inc. If you guys have shirts that you want to get printed, if you have booty shorts, if you have underwear, if you have tank tops, if you have hooded sweatshirts, whatever it is that you want to get printed, you're going to have to go to Audiophile Inc. It's going to be the best price in town. Tell them Sean sent you over there. He's going to do quality work. You're going to ask for Shane. He's going to do quality work there and give you the best price in town. So you know you can't beat that. And then also big thanks to Joe Brock for booping these dials. We're doing it a couple days early here, so he's really put off watching The Passion of the Christ with the fam to help me do this, which I really appreciate, Joe. And yeah, guys, this is going to be it for me. I thank you so much again for tuning in. Let's get wild. So how's that vanilla chai latte?
It's actually amazing. I don't know if they're normally vanilla. I'm not actually a fancy person.
I'm not either. Well, and now I have to touch on a story here because I went through the drive-through, and I'm not normally even a coffee purchaser. I like to, you know, get my Maxwell House and make it at my coffee maker. Right. But I was like, you know what? We're having a real early podcast. It's a little unconventional to have a podcast at 10 a.m. So I was like, I'm going to treat my guest to a delicious morning beverage. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get an iced coffee, okay? And they're like, well, how would you like that? And I was like, I think I will have it plain. And they're like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, we have vanilla, mocha, caramel, caramel crunch, almond joy, fudge brownie, vanilla birthday cake, or plain. And I was like, yeah, plain. Still. Yeah.
That, like, that was the first thing I...
And they're just like, okay, all right,
you're
man.
You're fucking lost.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, all right, dude. And I got it, and it's okay.
Are you allowed to be a snob at Dunkin' Donuts? Like, I'm just... Like, are you allowed to be that barista where you're like, fucking white trash piece of shit ordering a regular...
Oh, my God, a regular coffee.
Yeah.
They probably, like, wouldn't even know how to make it. I don't know.
You're like, I'm at a drive-thru donut shop. Like, let's be real with each other right now.
But this iced coffee, it's pretty delicious. How's your chai lattes, all right?
Oh, no, it's great. Which milk were you able to get?
The almond milk.
They had almond milk?
Yes, they did. America runs on Dunkin', brother.
Man, I was so nervous that they weren't going to have
almond
milk.
I was sweating bullets the whole time that I had to use 2%.
Yeah, ladies love the almond milk, so.
You've told me that before. What is that?
I think it's just because every person who ever told me that almond milk was a thing was a woman. Like, I drink it, and I use it in cereal. I don't use regular milk, and... But I've always introduced to it by women who are like, oh, yeah, don't have soy because, you know, it's too many estrogen and it'll give you boobs and stuff like that. And
that was my problem, man.
And don't have dairy.
Soy overdose.
You're allergic or it's bad for you and you shouldn't have cow's milk. And they're like, now almond milk. And then the funny thing is I go off on this tangent in my mind where I'm like, but aren't almonds the reason that California doesn't have water? And then, but anyway, I just have almond milk.
See, it's the silent killer, almonds. Yeah.
And when I go to Heine Brothers, so I don't really drink coffee. I have in the past, but I'm just not super into it. And caffeine makes me a little weird, a little weirder, I should clarify. And yeah, so I'll go and I'm like, can I get a, you know, medium chai with almond milk? And they're like, all right, that'll be $347. I'm like, what did I just order?
Oh, you wanted a large?
Yeah.
$397.
And I tip $1.
Which, yes. You didn't even tip 20%.
No, I can't tip. I can barely afford the drink, let alone to tip 20% on a $500 latte. So.
Yeah. Sorry. It took 50% of my paycheck to buy this coffee. Yeah. So
no, I love chai. I think it's really good. I think the amount of caffeine is appropriate for someone like me who doesn't need uppers but probably needs downers more than uppers. So
I just recently got into chai latte because we have a Keurig at work, and before everybody's like, dude, Keurig, it's not environmentally friendly,
right?
I would just say it's at work, I don't own it, and they happen to have these little chai latte cups, and I tried it not knowing what chai latte was. I'm like, what is this, like a hot tea?
Yeah.
And then I drink it, I was like, oh, this is like a Christmas drink.
Yeah. My shout out to my buddy Kartik, who's actually working on a chai vodka and gin right now.
Oh,
like creating, like distilling a chai flavored gin and a chai flavored vodka. So yet unnamed, but keep an eye out for that. That should be pretty good here in Louisville.
Is it going to taste like Christmas?
It does taste like Christmas.
I feel like chai latte tastes like Christmas. Or like horchata. Like that Christmas. Reminds me of horchata.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually really good. We were drinking. He brought me some samples. So this is, to put in perspective, my buddy Kartik. He's super successful. His family's very successful. He's run businesses since he was like, I don't know, 9 years old or something. But he brings to Vent. We meet up at Vent Coffee, and he wants my advice on how to brand this product. And he's like, I brought you two samples. So I brought a whole bottle of chai gin and a whole bottle of chai vodka. So let's grab some cups and let's go sit on the porch and have these. And I'm just sitting there and I'm going, I feel like this is really illegal. Like, right. I feel like you can't walk into a coffee shop with your own full bottles of liquor that you
and
made.
They just have these.
That they're not even like, they haven't even been sold through distribution. Like, you literally like, I made this bathtub wine or whatever.
I just distilled this myself.
And then you're just pouring it into a coffee cup for your friend on the patio. Didn't spend any money to do that. Like, I feel there was like 13 levels of illegal there. But the thing is, he's the kind of guy that A, doesn't think about that, and B, would never get in trouble for it anyway. Like, right. He's so like likable and lucky that just it will never
it
come
would
back
never
to
happen.
Him. Yeah, it'll just be like, oh, I didn't know I could bring my own liquor, and they're like, oh, it's okay.
Like George Costanza, be like, was that wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Should I not have done that?
Yeah. So that was like a week ago. That was basically me sitting on a patio at 2 p.m. at a coffee shop trying gin straight. That was the other thing. We weren't even like mixing. We're just like doing shots of gin on the patio.
Just on the patio.
So, and that wasn't Vent Coffee, and I'm not Zach Pennington. Just to be clear, and his name is also not Kartik. Those were all made up names.
We've been protecting the innocent and the guilty in these parties.
There are no innocent parties.
And guys, this is Sean Thriller Smith from the Sean vs. Wild podcast. In case you thought you were tuning into the Dunkin' Donuts coffee hour, this is indeed the Sean vs. Wild podcast. On the show today, I have got Zach Pennington, guitarist of Light Treasons, but also I'm having you on here because of your business mind.
Uh-oh.
You're a businessman. You got...
I'm a business man.
I'm a business, comma, man.
I think Jay-Z coined that phrase.
I think I've heard of him. Jay-Z.
Yeah, he's the other famous person with a Z in his name.
He's a hip-hopper.
He's hip-hop-opotamus.
Hip-hop, the hip-hop anonymous. Gotcha. Yeah, but you've got
he's
a lot
Beyonce's
of...
Beyonce's boyfriend, right?
I think so. I've heard of Beyonce.
Yeah, she's the famous one.
Gotcha.
Can you imagine being Jay-Z?
Yeah, it's like... You like are have
I've sold 10 number one albums, and people are like, could you hold her purse, please?
yes. I imagine that Jay-Z is very well-respected, but also... just kind of shadily or snidely, just low-key disrespected because of Beyonce.
Well, I think it's like Jay-Z is... I'm trying to think of another celebrity comparison. It's kind of like when... You remember when Farrah Fawcett died?
Yeah, and then Michael Jackson died the same
day. And Michael Jackson died like 12 hours later, and it was like, in today's news, the most tragic, devastating loss of Farrah Fawcett. Let's look back through. Holy fucking shit, Michael Jackson just died.
Cut the video, guys.
Cut the video. And it's like, literally no one even remembers or cared that. Like, and it's like, Farrah Fawcett was awesome. I love Farrah Fawcett, all that stuff. But it's like, can you imagine being like the 1,000th most famous person and then like the first or second most famous person in the world dies the same day? And it's like, well, fuck my life.
Dude, that would be my luck. I actually just had a conversation at work, kind of a morbid conversation to have at work, but... all this inclement weather that we've been having, all this bad weather, and there's a new hire at work that is like really afraid of storms. And I was just like, well, hey, man, if you're going to go, like going out on a tornado is actually pretty cool because you could be that guy that walks out the door and like the blue ice from an airplane, like, you know, falls on your head and you're dead because a hunk of frozen shit.
Right. Like, or maybe you get to ride the tornado for a few minutes before you die. Like that could probably be one of the most amazing. It's a hard experience to have.
Right.
I mean, how many people have ridden a tornado, right? Like hundreds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bill Paxton, he did it in the documentary Twister.
Yeah. And that didn't kill him.
Exactly. He lived another 20 years after that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
tornado enthusiasts out there, just strap on a belt to an iron hole and you'll survive.
On the topic of morbid and tornadoes, I've always felt like natural disasters are the right time to kill people.
Dang, like, never thought about that.
Like, you know, to get away with it, right? And I'm actually a very peaceful person. I have no grudges or anything, but I imagine I imagine if you found someone with like a stray piece of rebarb through them right after a tornado, you'd be like, it was the tornado. Like, yeah, no one's gonna swab that for DNA and be like, oh, clearly this was a hate crime or a, you know, gang murder or something. They're like, yeah, tornadoes kill people.
Guys, if you're listening to this, this is a horrible idea. Don't do it, but it makes sense.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
I've yet to prove that it works. Let's just put it that way.
I have not tested this theory.
It was actually inspired by Lil Wayne because he talked about how during Katrina a bunch of people were killed, like gang beef. Like people basically were like, oh, there's no government right now. Like, let's just shoot each other.
And,
and so there's like 80 to 100 unsolved murders from Katrina just because shit was so fucked up. So I was like, oh, yeah, floods, natural disasters, tornadoes. Those seem like good times to like purge.
Man, I didn't even think about that. I will tell you, because of the storm last night, the door of my gate randomly fell off. When I went to go to Dunkin' Donuts, I was like, oh, I have a large hole in my fence where the gate door was.
Is the gate still around, or is it in your neighbor's yard? Or
No, it just fell off.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's... And every time it storms, I don't know, shout out to whoever's in the neighborhood that likes to smoke Swisher sweets, but it just seems like somebody in the neighborhood smokes them, throws the packaging everywhere, and every time it storms, it ends up in my front lawn.
Yeah, that makes sense. I used to live at the top of a hill in a, just like a cookie cutter suburban neighborhood, and our trash cans would always like roll down the hill anytime there was any wind.
Right.
So I'd have to go get my trash can like five houses down.
Right. Can you imagine if like trash everywhere.
Yeah, luckily it was usually only the empty trash cans because they were heavy enough when there was trash in them. So it was like the next day our lid would just be like 30 houses away. And I'm like, and of course everyone had the same generic like Rubbermaid trash cans.
Right.
So you're like, I think that's my black 47-gallon Rubbermaid lid, but
let me spray paint my house number on it.
Yeah, we never thought to do anything like put a piece of tape on it or, you know, carve your initials in the top.
And guys, Zach has a lot of irons in the fire. That's why I'm having him on the show today, just to kind of get back on topic. OT, that's off topic, but let's get back on topic.
Okay, so also known as OT.
Also known as OT, a.k.a. also OT, yeah. OT2.
The other kind of OT.
OT2 Judgment Day. But not only do you play guitar in Light Treasons, but like I said, you're a business, comma, man, and you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You've got Flying Axes, which is a venue that's going to be opening up soon, which I'm so stoked when I heard about it. Tell the listening audience, what is Flying Axes? I don't want to spoil it. I want you to give the grand... Sure. spiel on it. You're the COO,
yeah,
my man.
Well, the funny thing about giving the grand reveal is it's kind of in the name.
I said spiel. Doesn't that just make it sound like, oh, you're trying to sell snake oil? I don't like saying the word spiel. Sometimes people say
schtick.
That to me at work.
Schtick is a good one.
Give me your schtick, brother.
Yeah, exactly. he's got this whole schtick on the Flying Axes. Yeah, no, I think so. Flying Axes is an axe throwing venue. Right. So wrapping your mind around the three words in that order, because a lot of people haven't heard them in that order before. So imagine you're playing darts with your buddies, but instead of using these little 3-inch metal darts, you're using 14-inch, 2.5-pound axes. So you're taking the axe, putting your hands, pulling behind your head, and you're hurling it at a wooden target. It's got a big bullseye painted on it, and you get points every time you score. It sticks in the board. You get 5, 3, 1 points. And then you're competing head to head. So it's like bowling, golf, darts, pool, all that kind of stuff.
Cornhole,
but with axes.
Yeah. The element of danger just really entices me. I feel
like. Yeah. That's what's really fun about it is it feels really dangerous, but the way we've set it up, it's actually really safe.
Right.
So we have cages. So there's walls on either side of you. There's a coach that's in your lane that's teaching you how to throw, enforcing safety rules. There's a certain area where you can and can't be while you're throwing. There's like rubber mats. So there's a lot of stuff in there to make it, you know, not
100% safe.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you are holding an axe, you know, it is heavy. It's not super sharp, which is another reason why it's kind of safe. But it's a wedge. So when you throw it, it'll, you know, stick
into
wood.
Stick into some wood. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it got thrown at you, it would not feel good.
Right, but it wouldn't, you know, take out a limb or anything like that. Maybe a finger?
Depends on who threw it and how, you know, if
Jason Momoa
threw it at you, you would just, that would be on your tombstone. It would read, you know, here's the last throne he'd ever sit on or something. Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely, it is dangerous, but again, we've created an environment where it's safe and fun. And it's super, I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. It's super cathartic and it's super visceral, meaning... You know, I play a lot of apps, games on my phone, and they're fun and they're addictive and they have these like kind of, oh man, I just lost, that sucks, blah, blah, blah. But like when you throw a fucking axe at a board and it sticks, you like jump, you like physically, you're like, yeah, and like get into it. And I'm not a sports fan, right? So like that was the appeal for me is I went and did this in Toronto, which is where it really kind of started to get popular and become like a formal thing. People have been throwing axes in their yard for hundreds.
Since the Vikings.
Hundreds and millions
of years. The
Vikings
were in their front yards just throwing axes.
Yeah, and they're freshly manicured, you know, bluegrass.
They've been mowing their lawn and throwing axes.
After mowing their lawn with axes, they would then take the stump and that they bought at Pottery Barn and set it on its side and then throw a best-made, you know, high-end hipster axe right at it. So... That's kind of, it's been around for a while, but again, what appealed to me is I go up to Toronto, some buddies of mine here who ultimately became my business partners had said, hey, we're thinking about starting an axe throwing venue. And I said, that sounds fucking weird. Let me think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like,
let me get back to you on it.
I was like, it didn't hit me right away.
Right.
And I think part of why it didn't hit me right away was because again, I'm not a sports person.
Right.
I stopped playing sports probably sixth grade or something like that. I was only ever decent at hockey and that was only cause I liked rollerblading, which shows how manly I am.
I loved fruit booting.
Yeah, I fruit booted so hard. My real skater friends used to give me so much shit for it, but, I still played Tony Hawk though. So.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I knew a lot
of things about skateboarding because of Tony Hawk. Yeah. Rodney Mullen, great skater.
I could Ollie.
And in real life.
I could Ollie.
I never could do anything.
But I could like barely roll down a hill without falling. It was like I could ollie in my flat driveway, but that's it. Like on my friend's driveway, you might as well just chop my arms off. Like that's how uncoordinated I was. But yeah, so used to skate, but that was about it. So wasn't super into sports. And even now I don't really watch sports. You know, I'll watch March Madness because that's interesting to me. And you
the
know,
Super Bowl.
I went to U of L, so like I kind of care what happens to them. But the big thing for me was it was a game. And so I go up with these guys to Toronto and we're in a bachelor party. There's 14 of us. And the group of guys is kind of a cross section of what I would call your stereotypical 30-year-old young professional man.
Right.
We got dentists, lawyers, hedge fund manager, tech software people, people work at Humana, people, you know, it's like just kind of your average dudes, not like
super, people just drinking old fashions.
Yeah, people who drink old fashions, right?
Gotcha.
Not necessarily like your cool like Kevin Fletcher types.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, it was more like your kind of we wish we were as cool as the band dudes, but we were like the, you know, we listened to that music, but we never played it except for me, of course. But it was like that kind of group, right? And so we go up and some of the guys are athletic, some of them are runners and whatever, but we're all just kind of average dudes in that sense. And we're playing and we're getting super fucking into it. And like my one buddy's friend, the bachelor, his good friend, who's a dentist, is like really thin, really clean cut, like tucks his shirt in when he's around his friends. You know what I mean? Like that kind of guy.
Tuck my shirt in, man. My friends are going to judge me.
Yeah.
Is that my shirt out?
No, you got to have your shirt out. Got to rock out with your shirt out. But he's like fucking crushing it. And I'm going, so I had already heard about the business idea from my buddies down here. And I'm looking around. I'm going, this is a thing.
Yeah.
I like think you guys are way ahead of the curve. And that dude, and then that giant dude across the way with a huge beard and like 30 tattoos, if all three of us are into it, this is a thing.
Yeah, and can you imagine like the diversity of your axe throwing team?
Oh, totally, yeah. And that's so my girlfriend's 4'11", and she's just as good at it as I am. Like there's not an advantage. So we would play basketball together, and she's actually better at basketball than I am, but I'm just so tall.
That you can just dunk on her?
No, not even dunk. She just can't shoot. Like, I literally just stick my hand up, and it's the laws of physics prohibit her from shooting over me, right? So it's
gotcha.
Like, it's not fun for us to play. But when we're axe throwing, like, being 4'11", being 70 years old, like, if you can throw, you can throw. It's just,
right.
It's form, it's not power, it's not size. And that's what I liked about it. And that's kind of what I always hated about sports was I was small until it didn't matter. Like, I finally got sports-sized when I was, like, 21 or something. At that point, it was, like, I was uncoordinated.
Must be nice. 5'5".
Yeah. You know, Muggsy Bowes, though?
5'3", that's true.
So,
Charlotte Hornets, 1996. Yeah. Does that make it?
I had a starter jacket. I had the starter jacket.
Yeah, well, thanks to NBA Jam, much like how Tony Hawk, right. like I learned about skateboarding, I learned a little bit about NBA in the mid-90s thanks to NBA Jam and NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
The fact that Michael Jordan was not a default character.
Hey, man.
Biggest oversight of that franchise.
Well, it's because Jordan has his own thing, man. He couldn't be in any video games in the 90s unless they were Jordan video games.
He was too rich.
So we got, you know, Jordan versus
he
Bird.
Wasn't relatable.
You know, he was just too high up the
kids
Fuji.
With the Sega Genesis.
They're not going to know who Michael Jordan is.
They've never heard of the Michael Jordan. He's too rich. They don't.
He's just too rich. He's a that baseball player.
Yeah, they barely know who the Monopoly Man is. And Michael Jordan has way more money than he does.
So, yeah, and you know, I feel like you're ahead of the curve on the axe throwing thing because honestly, I had just kind of heard about axe throwing.
Yeah.
Through, of course, like we mentioned Jason Momoa, just like his YouTube videos or like the fact that he was like on Jimmy Fallon and has like an axe, he like threw an axe on Jimmy Fallon or what have you. But that was like the first exposure just a few months ago, and now we have one right here in Louisville, and I can only imagine. I can't imagine that there are too many even in the region.
Any competition, even in the region. So there's none in Kentucky that we know of. I haven't seen or heard of any in Kentucky. So I think we're the first. I'm pretty sure we're the first. There in Canada, there's by our count about 40 across you know a couple dozen brands. Two of the brands have about 10 locations each, and then in the U.S., there's probably about 6 or 7.
Oh. I like to just, I was trying quietly to not have the ice roll around, and I just knew it was a bad idea. I was like, I'm just going to.
Let me casually set this. Oh, and it just fell over. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it did fall over. Now it's back erect.
I'm trying not to.
Upright.
I'm trying not to blow on my iced chai too loud.
That's all right, guys.
For the people at home who wonder what that wind sounded.
That is a vanilla chai latte with almond milk.
Can you smell the breeze? Yeah, so there's probably, like I said, six or seven in the U.S., but there's going to be a lot more. They're starting to pop up faster and faster. And what we're trying to do is we're all from Louisville, me and the other founders, but we want to make multiple. So Louisville's going to be our first. Then likely Covington, Cincinnati, that area is going to be our second one. Then probably Nashville, kind of spread out from there. Yeah. Indy, Columbus, you know. But the thing that's fun about axe throwing is it's a game that it's a repeatable skill that you can master over time. So in that sense, it's more similar to golf or bowling or whatever. And what we're hoping is what we've seen in Canada. So the one of the brands in Canada has been around for 10 years. The one of them that has 10 locations.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of proven that it's a long-term sustainable thing.
Right. There's longevity to it.
Yeah. And I imagine, I'm not naive, I imagine some people will only ever do it once.
Right.
But our goal is to expose as many people as possible to it. I actually do need to, hold on, give me 1 second. I got to let this person in.
You got to let somebody in using your phone? Dude, yeah. What kind of space age technology did you just hit me with? What digital witchcraft did you just do right here on the podcast?
I'm about to show off how bougie of a person I am, but I just
excuse me, hold on. I got
to buzz my cleaning lady into my apartment. So long story short, I did the math and it is much cheaper for me to hire someone to clean our apartment than it is for me to spend the time to do it myself. I know that sounds horrible, but
what's great is I was like I said, I just kind of moved into this room and we just got like a kegerator for the house.
Yeah.
And so there's still like boxes and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, I really should have straightened up. And then I was like, oh, Zach's coming over. He's a band guy. Certainly he's used to a little untidiness. And then you're like, well, I've got a cleaning lady that cleans my house every day. It's like, damn it, blew that one.
Not every day.
She cleans it every day. Yeah, twice a day.
It's actually three times a day. She comes over.
Not every day. Twice a day.
During lunch and catches the crumbs as they fall out of my mouth. No, yeah. Every, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. But yeah, and that was also a gift to my girlfriend. I was like, hey, look, I know you and I got a lot going on right now.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy. It was. I'm pretty sure. No, maybe it was a birthday present. But I was like, I'm going to buy, that sounds horrible. I'm going to pay for a cleaning service for at least a year to come and see if you like it. And she was like, oh, that's awesome. So, some women are super offended by that. So you have to kind of gauge, if you have a female partner, you have to gauge their interest. Cause some women are like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. And some are like, what are you saying? I can't keep our house clean. It's like, whoa, I didn't say that.
What I'm saying is you should live in spoils and be pampered and not trouble yourself with that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a touchy subject for some people, just depending on how they were raised and what they think or whatever. But luckily me and my girlfriend are both really cool with it. It's like, hey, if we can focus on our jobs and our other stuff, and then this is one less thing to worry about. And it's actually not that expensive. I think we pay like $55 a month.
Dude, totally worth it. I'm actually, now that you've said that, I might just look into it, because as two bachelors that like literally, my roommate Evan and I, like literally we have two opposite work schedules.
Right.
So he'll work really early, I'll work really late, and we never
can't run the vacuum.
We see each other for like 15 minutes a day.
Right.
And, yeah, we're messy. That would be good. Maybe I will look into that.
And the other thing too, is I think that a lot of people get hung up on that concept, because it's like, oh, like why would I pay? Like I shouldn't make that poor person clean my house. Like my house is dirty. That's gross. It's like some people actually enjoy cleaning. And also it's a source of employment for someone.
So right.
It's
that's like, true.
You know, if that's what they want to do, or that's how they make money, like you're not a bad person for paying them to do that job, especially because people get paid real wages in the US and stuff like that. It's not like I'm hiring someone for a dollar an hour to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, some people get hung up on, they're like, oh, I don't know, man. Like I wouldn't clean someone else's house. It's like, right. But you probably aren't like, you don't clean houses for a living.
Right.
We had a house cleaner when I lived with a bunch of other people. And again, that was part of the thing, is we had six people living in a house, and it's like, how do you divide up chores?
Yeah.
So it was more fair for all of us to pitch in $50 a month and hire a house cleaner.
Well, could you imagine though, too, like people don't like to clean the house, but if you find somebody that doesn't mind cleaning,
yeah.
I mean, and say they make $100, you know, per house,
yeah,
and they do it 7 days a week.
No, it's good even, money, especially if you do it for yourself. Like if you're, you know, if you're self-employed and you charge the rates and you kind of get the full rates, like, yeah, our cleaning guy at our last place was making probably $400 to $500 working like 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah, totally worth it.
It's not bad.
No.
Get to put on headphones, listen to podcasts, and just like hang out.
Dude, that's why I love cutting the grass. People are like, why are you so into cutting the grass? I love it.
No, I know most.
Because I just put on the podcast and then just take off. Push mow. I love to push mow the grass. Man.
Oh, really?
I don't ride on the lawnmower or anything like that.
I ain't no highfalutin riding mower, motherfucker.
I ain't no fancy riding lawnmower, man. I just push.
And if I am, I don't have power steering.
Hell no, man.
Hell no, man. How do you think I got these forearms?
Dude,
man?
I just use the whirling blades with the two wheels. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. The scissor cut. Or
I wish I could do that. Actually, I don't wish. I'm sure that it's probably just a way more pain in the ass. I do use a gas mower, guys.
We had a buddy of ours who pushed mode and manual. That's what you're talking about, like the old-fashioned manual one. And we were all like, you're a lawyer, you make like $500 an hour. We feel like you could find someone to mow your grass for cheaper than. He was like, it's literally the only exercise I do.
Yeah, right.
He's this like super skinny guy. He's like, I sit all day at work. He's like, it's the one thing a week where I'm like physically exerting myself. So I kind of need it.
Dude, my uncle, who's probably listening, I remember him telling me this story about like his neighbor. He lives in a really nice, he's well-to-do. Mm-hmm. He lives in a really nice neighborhood in Indianapolis. And I guess his neighbor across the way was like, you know, we want to be more environmentally conscious. And, you know, we're thinking about doing the scissor cut push mower instead of getting an electric one or whatever. And he said that he just looked outside and he saw this poor guy struggling for hours with that scissor cut lawnmower. And then the next week, he's got a gas-powered lawnmower, never to be seen cutting his grass with a scissor mower again.
Well, I also love, on the topic of environmentalism, I try to be environmentally friendly. I'm not like a hardcore person just because it's not that I'm not hardcore in my beliefs. It's that I'm not hardcore in my actions.
Right, yeah.
Like I'm 100% like I think the environment is probably the most important thing we should focus on. Because
obviously.
If we don't have an Earth, we don't have humans, that kind of thing. But obviously, like I drive a Prius, but it's still a Prius.
Uncle drives a Prius.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Dolphin it's like gray.
It's still a car. It still gets gasoline. It still uses energy. Like you know, I could walk more places than I do. Like I get that, but I love someone having a lawn. Like lawns are one of the most like environmentally terrible things you could own. Like it's literally like grass is functionally useless, and like you spray chemicals and you use water, and it's like. Literally just having dirt in your front yard is actually better for the environment.
That's true.
Or just let the grass grow. The irony is grass would be valuable if you let it grow and just kind of be its own weeds and all that stuff. And it'll like self-pollinate and do all this good stuff. But people are like, I need to go buy $5,000 worth of sod.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use a push mower.
Right.
Because I don't want to harm the earth. And you're
right.
Like, I don't think you understand how
the
earth
works.
Too late,
buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get back on the topic, though, of flying axes, because somehow we just took a left turn into lawn care.
Yeah.
And which
one in the same.
That happens. But
we were talking about how the Vikings used to cut their grass.
See, with axes.
It all comes. It's full
circle.
Dude,
full circle. I love how we did that. So you guys will be opening up tentatively here in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So the goal was end of April. We're still waiting on some permits and building stuff from the city. That's kind of slowed us down a little bit. Fortunately, I think a lot of people are like, oh, you haven't gotten a permit because it's super dangerous. And we're like, no, we haven't gotten a permit because it took us way too long to submit our plumbing drawings. Like, we're converting in a completely empty warehouse into a retail consumer facility. And so there's a lot of things that have to happen when you change the use of a building.
Right.
So, like, there were no toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not even no toilets, no plumbing, right? So it's, like, literally an empty storage warehouse. So heating and air, plumbing, like, all this stuff. So it's just taken a lot more time and money than we anticipated, but that's part of construction. So we kind of anticipated that it would.
Right.
And we're getting close to being back on schedule, but it's just been a little bit slower than we thought.
Dude, my roommate is so into axes. That's such a weird thing to say, but he is so stoked.
I had no idea how into axes people were until I started this. And like out of the woodwork, people are like, oh yeah, I own like 12 axes. And I'm like, I've known you 30 years, and you just now
I've
told
never
me.
Seen your axe collection, sir.
And they're like, you've never been in that room in the basement that I don't let anyone in? I'm like,
the one with all the chains?
Yeah, exactly.
And axes?
It's like the first season of Dexter when you notice how like high-tech the guy's door is. And they're like, it's kind of weird to have that many locks on one door.
Right, exactly. Dude, my roommate, literally, Evan, shout out, you know it, but he's
obsessed.
In total anticipation of this place opening and his whole circle of friends.
Oh, awesome.
Mind you. So I can't wait for it to open. I want to be like, hey, I know Zach. Let's all go.
The axe mafia is gonna show up. Everywhere.
He's been sharpening his tomahawks, bro.
Yeah. So we're doing not only like one off events where you could book a group, you know, double date, bring a coworkers, you know, huge
birthday
party, bachelor, bachelorette, wedding, whatever you want to do there. But starting the summer, we're going to do leagues. And I think that's going to be the really cool thing for like locals, because it'll be cheaper. It'll be more frequent. You know, come in on Tuesday night, spend $10, buy a few beers, you know, hang out, score some points, come up with a cool name, get cool shirts. Like, do it's just like bowling, but right. Again, more badass than bowling.
Got it. Bowling, you've heard it. The gauntlet's been thrown down. Axe throwing, they claim to be more badass than bowling.
We're coming for you.
So, yeah. And we're about in the 30-minute mark here of our conversation. So this is typically where I like to play a little music. And okay. You are the guitarist of Light Treasons.
I am.
And we had Clay on the very first episode of Sean vs. Wild, premiering a new Light Treasons song. You guys are still in the process. I know you guys are like releasing singles one after mm-hmm. the other, and then you'll have a full-length album out.
So yeah, halfway through that, we abandoned that process.
Scrap that idea, guys.
Yeah, the short version of it is we were talking to Puckett about releasing the album, and he was like, well, stop releasing singles so that we can release the whole album. And we're like, all right, good idea. And then he passed away before we really did anything. We were, you know, actually supposed to meet with him that Sunday. And, you know, so that kind of made us, we rethought our strategy. And we were like, you know what, we'll hold it back. We'll release the whole album at once. So we've released 3 of the 9 songs, and we're about to release the other 6 in like the summer. So,
right.
Well, we're finishing them right now. We just were in the studio last week with Jordan.
With Jordan Haynes.
Jordan Haynes, who's also been on the podcast.
He's also been on the podcast,
I've
guys.
I've listened to that episode as well. So,
and anybody listening, if you want to have the rat, he didn't pay me for this endorsement, but I'm going to give you the endorsement because
has paid me in blood, sweat, and tears.
Exactly, dude. He's put up with a lot of our nonsense,
yeah.
We should say. If you want to have a great sounding demo, you're going to hit up Jordan Haynes. That's for sure. Or a great sounding, not even a demo, album, whatever.
I don't think you can do a demo with Jordan because he gives too much of a shit to let you do a demo.
Yeah. It's never going to sound
like
a demo.
Hey, so this, can we make this demo like radio quality?
Yeah. Hey, it'd be like going to, you know, like Rick Rubin, be like, hey man, can you lay down this demo track for me?
Hey man, can you turn on that ADAT and cut me a 4-track real quick?
Brother, can you make this happen, brother? So, let's go ahead and check out the new single.
Yeah.
From Light Treasons, The Romantic.
Yep.
And guys, enjoy The Romantic by Light Treasons. All right, everybody. That was Light Treasons with their new single, The Romantic. What a nice little ditty you got there, Zach.
Thanks.
Thanks. Dude, during the break, we had a total... There was a whole thing with a refrigerator.
There was a crisis.
There was meltdown.
A crisis, meltdown, DEFCON 4 or whatever.
And we determined that if Chris O'Donnell and Dolph Ziggler fucked, that would be you.
If they had a man-child.
If they had a child together using their DNA, that would be you.
They can build me.
Yeah, exactly.
They have the technology.
They have the technology.
Yeah. So yeah. The refrigerator. The good news is we will have a refrigerator at Flying Axes for our cold beer.
This is an exclusive, guys. You heard it first. There will be the coldest beer at Flying Axes,
and it will be thoroughly refrigerated.
We just got a kegerator for our house. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And in having a draft beer as soon as you get off work, there's not a better feeling.
I worked in a co-working space where we had a kegerator, and so we would, you know, at the end of the workday, you know, like 3 p.m. or whatever, we'd all go start drinking.
You know, around 3 o'clock.
You know, when things start winding down for startups. Yeah, so we'd all usually have our 3 o'clock beer and then our 5 o'clock ping pong, and then we'd start working again at 6 or 7.
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's great is it's, you know, all tax deductible for me. This is a business, and, you know, I have my guests on. And I saved my receipt from Dunkin' Donuts, and I saved my receipt for the keg. And
if you include the cost of my chai latte, your adjusted gross income's like -$4,000.
So I'll have to have you work on that. Right now, all I'm doing is just saving receipts, aka collecting trash.
Two tax returns ago, my adjusted gross income because of my businesses was -$22,000. That's how much money I made 2 years ago.
That's great, dude. I'm going to need you to assist me.
Yeah,
in the ways
of the funny thing is I'm not even like good at that. Like I have a friend who's really good at that, who's like, I found a way to live in a house that my business owns, and then I rent my car from myself. Like, he knows all the crazy, like,
all the
rich
crazy
people loopholes and stuff. I'm not good at that stuff. We lost money as a business, and like, since you own it, you get to take the losses, which is good for your taxes and bad for your bank account. So
right,
but yeah, it's I think the biggest thing to think about with taxes, and I'm feeling it this year, is save money to pay them, right? Like,
right.
I know it sounds like common sense, but depending on how you get paid as a business or how frequently or how much, like, just setting aside money in an account that you don't touch is the smartest thing you can do, as a person anyway, but as a business especially.
Man, I wasn't expecting all this life advice here on this podcast today. Mm-hmm. And you're just delivering, man.
You know, I try to help as many people as I can, as often as I can, so...
I feel like that's the truth, and you've got just a sharp business mind. And not only are you're doing Flying Axes, and you're doing Light Treasons, which I know we're just basically touching on just kind of briefly, but you also have Hearlancer.
Yeah,
can you explain to the listeners what Hearlancer is?
Yeah, so Hearlancer is a freelance and agency marketplace for local creative and technical talent. A simpler way to say that is, if you need help with something and you don't know who could help you with it, post it on Hearlancer and we'll find someone. And the big thing that makes us different is we focus on the market that the clients are in. So right. In our case, we're focused on Louisville for now.
Right.
So we just started the business in December, my partner Rachel and I, and again, we're trying to find clients that need help with something, let's say developing a new website or marketing plan or whatever, but they don't want to go online and hire someone on Fiverr because they either don't know about it or don't trust it or don't know how to even communicate.
Or you get what you pay for $5.
You get what you pay for. And, you know, it's just, for some people, dealing with overseas talent is more work than it's worth, even for the cost savings. And so a lot of people want to work with someone they can meet with and talk to and have a relationship with. And so we're just trying to foster those connections locally and then start in Louisville and then spread out from there.
It's such a great idea because, I mean, most of the time I'm just like, you know, I'll be like, hey, really need, you know, a website done.
Right.
And then you post on Facebook about it and they're like, hey, well, my cousin Timmy does Facebook stuff.
Not my cousin, but his dog's neighbor.
Yeah.
Right. It's always like 17 degrees.
They got the Photoshop. They're in the Photoshop every day and they could probably build you a website or people will just be like, hey man, why don't you just use, you know, such and such free thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, man, you know, when you want to appear professional, you got to put in the professional effort.
Well, and the thing is, all the free website builders have done is they've taken the laborious process of making simple things, like, that are actually, it's extremely complex to make something simple, right?
Right.
And so they've taken that process out, but they haven't, even with templates and stuff like that, they haven't actually created taste. Like you have to have, you have to have taste, and you also have to have an understanding of what your audience is and what your content should be.
Yeah.
So I could use a website builder and make the website look really good, but if it doesn't actually serve the needs of the business, then it's fucking useless. You know what I mean? And so hiring a freelancer who understands that stuff is still valuable. And if anything, they can do it faster and cheaper than ever before because they're using the same technology that you would.
Right, exactly.
So like if you hire someone and they build you a marketing website from scratch, like they're doing it wrong. Like they should be using WordPress, they should be using Squarespace, they should be using Wix or whatever, but they should be helping you figure out what you need, how you should lay it out, how you should design it, what's useless, what's not. And they should also be able to do it a lot faster than you can. So there's kind of a couple of values there. But yeah, I mean, like you shouldn't have someone like, all right, HTML,
let me
background color equals
00FF1G.
Okay. End background tag, right? Like no one's doing that anymore unless you're literally, unless your product is the software that you're selling. Like you shouldn't be building websites. Like I use WordPress for almost everything, but I modify themes and templates and whatever to serve the needs of my project or my company or my product or whatever. And that's actually the hard part now. The hard part used to be building the stuff. Now that's gotten easy.
Right.
Now the hard part is, does your stuff appeal to your clients or does it actually serve the purpose that you're building it for?
Exactly. I'm trying very hard to get in just be more disciplined when it comes to my web presence, because before it's like, hey, I'll post, you know, once a week about the podcast, and then it'll be like, hey, I'll post every couple days about the show. Now it's like, man, you got to realize that to hang in today's market, you got to like post like multiple times per day.
Yeah.
Content, but also even content that's like, it's relevant or, but also stuff that's like kind of irrelevant to your cause, but just similar. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like on my Twitter, like I got to post about like other interests that I have multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep to not berate people with what you're doing. Not like five times a day, be like, listen to the new podcast.
And even that's kind of weird to me just because I see a lot of brands do that. And to some extent, one of my companies especially does that. But I don't know. I'm torn because I think that that's not Joe Brock fucking this up. That's literally my brain just stopped working in the middle of a sentence. As the internet gets noisier, meaning there's just more stuff on it,
right?
More people contributing, right? That's kind of Web 2.0 is, hey, websites could be commented on by other people. Like people can add content, Wikipedia, Facebook, etc. I think that quantity is still not going to win. I think that quality is going to win. And I say that because anytime I've written, I've just seen from my own Facebook usage, not from any of my companies. If I write a post where I'm like, hey, here's some really insightful, authentic, real shit that I'm thinking right now or I'm feeling or experience I just had, hundreds of likes, shares, even, you know, dozens of shares or whatever. If I'm like, hey, I saw this article about memes, check it out, like 12 likes, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
that stuff exists, and the irony is that stuff gets a lot of shares from those type of like meme Facebook pages or whatever, but right. I think what people are searching for more than anything is something human to relate to. And so that's actually what I like about your podcast and the podcast that I do listen to is they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not marketing optimized.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like you won't believe what on the next episode of Sean versus Wild.
Right.
Right. Although you can totally do that if you want, but like,
I probably will. Joe, you're listening.
Right.
So go ahead and edit that in.
Yeah.
Guys.
Go ahead. Oh, wait, if I do the delays, then it's harder for him to do them. But you know what I mean? Like people want to hear and read and watch things that they can relate to and things that are relevant. And I don't know, man. I know people, there's people like Gary Vee who posts like a million pieces of content a day. And then there's people like Simon Sinek who he posts like little like quotes and stuff from his thing. But he's written like 3 or 4 books. He's given like 3 or 4 TED Talks. And in a lot of ways, he's like almost as popular as Gary Vee.
Right, yeah.
Because what he says is so fucking accurate and it's so prolific that it's like, you only have to say it once.
Right, exactly. You know, and like, he's just not breaking his back trying to, you know, post.
Beat a dead horse. Yeah. And he's not trying to beat a dead horse. And if you see him on TV or you see him whatever, he'll say that he has consistency in his message, which is like, people need to feel safe. People need to trust their leaders. And if they don't trust you, they're not going to work for you. They're going to work for money. And like, he has a consistent message and brand, but Like, I don't feel like he's like, oh man, I just met Wiz Khalifa, and then, you know, I was taking a poop later and I read this thing. And like, he's not, he doesn't inundate me with stupid shit.
Right, exactly.
Like, if anything, if Simon Sinek or Seth Godin's another guy I'm really big fan of, if they post something, and Seth Godin blogs every single day.
Right.
Or at least 5 days a week or whatever. It's almost always good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I rarely am like, God damn it, why did you tell me that? You know what I mean? Like, and I have people, there's people you follow, there's people you read, and you're like, that's just, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
that's why I'm not on Snapchat, is like, I like some Nicki Minaj songs, but I don't like care what it's like being on tour with her. Like, I just, I'm not interested. Right. And for some people they are, and that's because, you know, and that's fine. But again, like, I want people, to me, art is curation, not creation.
Right.
Like, anyone can create anything. That's actually, again, really easy. What's really hard is editing. What's really hard is saying, you know what? This sucks. My own art sucks. Fuck it. I'm throwing it away.
Exactly. It's the edit. Yeah. I feel that. I mean, anybody can make a movie, but you got to right. You got to edit it together. You got to make it a story. You got to make it
comprehensive. It's got to resonate with other people, and it's got to feel authentic. It's got to be real. And, you know, tying it into Light Treasons, you know, I play guitar in the band and played guitar in Hark the Herald with Joel and Clay. That was our previous band together. And like, the thing that I'm trying to get better and better and better at with music is editing.
Right.
And I don't mean editing like drum edits, like tactical editing. Like, you know what? That chorus does need to repeat, or it doesn't. Like, I'm really into songwriting right now and production. And I just don't give a fuck about guitar. And it's like, really, it's like, it throws people off. And I tell people, it's kind of an on-running joke that, like, if you saw me just like jamming on a guitar, you'd be like, oh, you're pretty good. Have you been playing for like 6 months now? And I'm like, I've been playing like 20 years. You're like, oh, you should probably give up.
You know what? That's not your forte.
I guess. If you're at this level,
that's the way I feel about me playing drums.
15, 20. But the thing is, and here's what I'm going to say about you that I'm also going to say about Joel is, what I like about you, so my favorite drummer is Corey Eaves. Like, I think he's everyone's favorite drummer. Like, I watch that dude play drums on YouTube for like 24 hours straight, right?
Right, yeah.
Favorite drummer probably of all time. Also one of my favorite people. But here's the hot take. You and Joel are the type of drummers where I feel like, now granted, the type of bands Corey's been in have been driven by this, but like, I could watch you and Joel play Four on the Floor or just play like a little hi-hat ditty. And I'm like, that's what the song needed at that moment in time. Like, it's never about you. It's about the song.
Right.
And I'm the same way with guitar. Like, I write a couple leads that are kind of catchy. You're kind of like, oh, that was a cool little ditty. But like, you would literally never find me on Guitar Hero or like Shred magazine where they're like, look at this crazy tab that Zach Pennington wrote. And it's like, you know, the first note's on the third fret and the next one's on the 16th fret. And so like, I don't even know how to like physically do that or even write that stuff. But I feel like I know how to be like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, this appeals to you on like a primal level. That's why I always, like when I played drums, I was like, I'm not trying to impress anyone with like my finesse or my technicality because I'm just not that type of drummer. I'd much rather just hear a big, loud, like drum beat that you can feel and you can relate
to. It has impact.
Exactly.
And there's music, and the other piece of that is there's music for other musicians, and there's music for everyone.
Right, exactly.
And, it's lame, it's mainstream or whatever. I'm like, the reason mainstream music is popular is because, again, the hot take, it's inherently good.
Right.
Like, shitty pop songs, if you actually, as a musician, deconstruct them, you're like, okay, that chord progression makes sense.
It's
like,
manufactured to appeal.
It's a broad audience. It is, but it's also scientifically proven to be good, right? Like, you can watch someone's brain waves when they listen to Katy Perry. And
exactly.
Like, even like hardcore metal dudes are like, fuck this Katy Perry shit. And then they're like,
that's what I listen to at the gym. I'm not a hardcore metal dude, but
you know, like people like it's, there's just something about like super catchy melodies and super like impactful beats and things like right now. Like, I think rap is worse than it's ever been right now.
I agree.
And it's all beat fetishism and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, I'm like, okay, the beats are really dope right now. But like, I don't think the artists are that great. But I was listening to like Run the Jewels on the way over here. And I'm like, okay, like those guys are fucking awesome, right?
I'll probably just get like some flack for it. But I don't know, man. Like, I loved rap, especially in the 90s, 2000s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like Bone Thugs and Harmony, for example, is like a group that to me is like, I mean, I grew up with them, but they continue to put out like albums that are just like above like what other people are doing, I feel like. And then sometimes people are like, well, you should check out, you know, this group or this guy or whatever. And I listen to it, I'm just like, man, this just doesn't have like...
Yeah, you should listen to
passion.
Mumbles Mulgravy. He's that new hotness. And you're like, what? Like, and then he's like, Mumble Gravy on them track, motherfucker. You're like, that...
See, that's what I'm saying. There's no passion behind it. It just seems like they're just like... You know, I mean, if that guy's mumbling, I've never heard him, but I mean...
I feel like all of them are right now. But then you can listen... Like I said, you can listen to something like Run the Jewels. You can listen to... I mean... Someone who I think is underrated, even though he's wildly successful, is Ludacris. I think Ludacris is a fucking great rapper.
I loved Nelly,
and he's like
too.
A joke rapper, right, to some people, but I'm like, but he's actually good, and he writes good songs.
I feel the same way about Nelly. I feel like Nelly was like a pop rapper, and I was like, but that guy actually...
he's got away with words.
Maybe...
That young fellow.
I'm just so white. I think maybe. Maybe that's the thing.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think like Childish Gambino, again, talk about rappers that white people like Childish Gambino is fucking awesome, right? And I know a lot of people aren't into the new record because it's too like funky and 70s sounding or whatever. But I don't know, man. I like wordplay. I like the cleverness of rap. And I think that's what always appealed to me about it. And so that's what's missing, right? Which is like if someone's like, I walk down to the store and I pull my gat. And then I got shot at by a cop. I'm like, okay, that may or may not be a real story, but like, you didn't even rhyme with anything. Like, cops came and shot me where I'm at. I'm like, okay, at least there's like A B or something, you know, like, and I even on the way over here, I heard a lyric that I hadn't heard, you know, or processed before, which was in one of the Run the Jewels songs where he says something to the effect of, my flow is like the ratio between heroin and laxatives, which is like opioids cause like a constipation or something. And it was just like, he said it really like fast. And I was like, wait, that's actually kind of hilarious. Like the more people, not hilarious, but you know what I mean? Like the more people that use heroin, the more people that buy laxatives. Like
that's so
he
crazy.
Was making that, you know, and I'm just like, that's one line in a 600 line song where you're just kind of like, oh shit, I never even caught that. That's pretty tight.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Little OT on topic, not off. We're taking OT back. OT2, Judgment Day.
Are we on the wagon or are we off the wagon?
Yeah, we're going to put it on the line. Okay. We're going to record this podcast. We're going to put it on the line.
Okay.
Off
the wagon.
American on the line.
Okay.
Does it ever just really discourage you whenever you do see people on YouTube? Because you're talking about new hip hop and, or new rap. And I happen to come across, have you seen Lil Yachty?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm hoping that it's probably some sort of joke, mm-hmm. but the fact that he has multiple singles is making me believe maybe this was serious. But when you see stuff like that and it has like 10 bascrillion views on YouTube.
Bascrillion. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Does that ever just discourage you for I don't know your songwriting process or just you know maybe a little bit about life in general or society in general maybe?
I would argue
I got dark. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I would argue the opposite. I think it encourages me, and here's why it encourages me is that it's popular for a reason.
That's true.
It may not be the reason you agree with, but. It's the whole 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong, right? Like, yes, Elvis stole black music. Yes, Elvis became like a fat drug addict or whatever. Like, there's plenty of things wrong with Elvis, but at the end of the day, he made people feel joy.
Right.
Or sex, or he made them feel something that they hadn't felt before. And you could like argue all day about why he's crap. Or like, I'm like a unapologetic Beatles fan. And I have plenty of friends like, oh, the Beatles are overrated. And I'm like, I think the Beatles are underrated.
I agree. I think so too.
High five.
You guys,
you know, and I'm like, and you can also like the Rolling Stones. Those aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's like at the end of the day, if something is just because it's right doesn't mean it's popular. That whole saying, I'm going to push back on that and say like, if people really are into that, even if they're into it because like it's so stupid, it's so silly. Like, what was it on Friday by Rebecca Black?
Yeah.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Is that today?
Today is Friday.
So I guess we gotta get down. All right.
Yeah.
We'll probably get down later. Joe, can you drop some get down right now? Yeah. You know, it just like going back to what I was saying about like you, Joel, and Corey, like if it's what you want it to be and it's a good version of what you want it to be, then it's good.
Right.
Like when I watch Corey play drums, I don't watch to watch him play four on the floor or play like a driving heavy beat. I watch him because he's a technical monster.
Right.
Right. And similarly, if I'm wanting to hear just like a fucking, you know, straight jamming, like super heavy, just kind of whatever, like I want to watch you do that. And if anything, if I watched you like try to do a bunch of like crazy fills and stuff, I mean, you could do it, but it's like, I don't even know if that's what I'd want or expect. You know what I mean?
I'm more of a guy that just likes to lick his drumstick.
Yeah. Or slit your throat with the drumstick.
There you go. Perfect.
That's a great move. Or do the flex. That's the one we flex a lot in our band. But I mean, that's the whole thing is like, if it appeals to you and you like something about it, it's art. It's hard to be like, this art is good and that art is bad. It's like that.
It's
art,
subjective.
It either creates an emotion, even if you hate it, it created an emotion, right? Like people hate, quote unquote, hate Nickelback, but like, at least you feel something about Nickelback.
That's true.
You know what
You're
I mean?
Not indifferent.
Right. Yeah. Indifference is the opposite of love. Hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. You know what I mean?
I love this positive spin on it because now you're talking and I'm even going back and being like, huh.
I still think it sucks. Let's be clear. But I think it sucks for me.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not upset that he's famous or that he's successful or that people like it for whatever reason they like it. I just don't like it.
Right. But it's not like, your cup of chai tea.
And that's all we have today. Yeah, no, I mean, like, exactly that, though, right? Is like, one of my favorite bands is Thrice. I'm actually wearing a Thrice t-shirt. So, shout out to me for being an open book. But yeah, like, one of my favorite bands is Thrice. And I went and saw Dustin play by himself the other day at Mercury Ballroom, and it was fucking amazing. And then Andy from Manchester Orchestra played, and I just, like, wasn't super into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't listen to Manchester Orchestra. I have nothing against them or him. But it was just, like, this thing where I'm like, Dustin is making me feel emotions right now that I wasn't feeling prior to him playing and singing. So like, that's art to me. And I just wasn't feeling those emotions for Andy, but the crowd was super into it. So I'm like, they're clearly feeling it. There's something here. It just wasn't for me. You know what
gotcha.
I mean?
Gotcha. Well, that's why there's vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream and strawberry ice cream.
And vanilla chai and dark roasted coffee.
Plain ice. Yeah.
Butter cake coffee.
Vanilla cupcake, mocha brownie, chocolata.
Funfetti, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's probably a thing. But yeah, I guess that's true. Man, you hit me with some stuff. I'm looking at this book here that's like behind you, and it's just like haphazardly thrown up there. But it's Tim Ferriss. Are you a Tim Ferriss fan?
Yeah, I am.
You Tim Ferriss me, man. You put a positive spin on everything, and then I was like, you know what?
Much to my girlfriend's chagrin, I'm
ZP,
a Tim Ferriss fan.
You Tim Ferriss'd me on the podcast. Much to your girlfriend's chagrin.
I think a lot, yeah. So
you just have these ideas?
No, the short version of it is they both went to Princeton, and she said he reminds her of every douchey know-it-all that she went to Princeton with.
I guess I can
see
that.
And I was like, but he actually is pretty smart. Like, he actually knows what he's talking about. And she's like, yeah, but I spent 4 years with those guys. Like, fuck those guys. So
she's got a personal beef. Tim Ferriss, if you're listening right now,
Joanna, a.k.a. J.C. Cruz, is coming for you.
We got to settle this beef in an axe-throwing competition.
Oh, man. If I could throw axes with Tim Ferriss, I'd be pretty happy. You're invited if you're listening. I know you are because you don't do anything with your time. You're a super lazy really and bored human being. So.
Yep, you're like four books deep. You got a podcast every day, an inspirational blog.
Yeah, people. It's so funny as people are like, the four-hour work week. And I'm like, you know Tim Ferriss works 24-hour work weeks, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, he could work 4 hours a week, but he doesn't because he's an addict. He's addicted to doing stuff. So it's...
I want to be that motivated.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. I'm weird because I'm super lazy, but I love doing stuff. So I overcome
I love the idea of setting goals and hitting goals, but I am like... I gotta be honest with you. I am lazy by nature. So that's something that I've worked on in the past like 10 years where it's just like, I need to put my nose to the grindstone. Mm-hmm. I need to make this work. That's what this podcast is all about, man. Consistency.
Yep.
You know? And
if you care about it, it's easier.
I agree.
It's still hard because it's work, but if you care, then the motivation is the hardest part of any task. You can learn how to do anything. You can get help doing anything. But if you're not motivated to do it, forcing yourself to be motivated fucking sucks.
I agree. That's what I love about this. I just really, it took me a while to get started because I had my doubts.
Right.
Because I was always like, well, just like in our world right now, it's like I was afraid to put myself out there. You know what I'm saying? Because a podcast is pretty personal. Yep. Before I was like hidden behind a drum set.
Right.
I was a guy and... all I had to do is get my picture taken.
Yeah,
that was
persona,
basically
that
the most.
Could be whatever you wanted it to be.
Exactly. That was like the most exposure I had, was just getting my picture taken, you know, for the most part. Right. Didn't really interact in social media, whatever. And so having this podcast, it was one of those things where I was like, man, I don't know if I'm ready to put myself out there. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you this story because I had a friend of mine that wants to start a podcast.
Right.
And they were going through the exact same thing. Like, I'm just so nervous to put myself out there. And I just had to say, you know what, though? If you love it, if it's something that you mm-hmm. want to do, once you do it, once you put yourself out there, you'll become more fearless, and
yeah.
you'll become you'll be able to say, you'll be able to speak more freely,
yeah.
And yeah, but that motivates me. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that I love to do. It took me a while to get started, but once I did it, now it's not work to me. I enjoy it. I enjoy getting up early, going to Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. getting some fancy coffee, and having a good conversation before I have to go to my 9-to-5 job, aka my 12-to-9 job.
For me, someone, I don't know who said this, but I'm going to quote it and say I said it because my bandmates make fun of me for doing that. But the saying is that doubt has killed more ideas, or I'm trying to remember how to say it now. It's doubt has killed more ideas than failure ever has. Right?
That's deep.
People who have tried and failed, like, just keep going. If they do, like, that creates everything in the world.
Right.
But people who go, I don't know if I should, creates nothing. You know what I mean? Like, everything around you is someone who thought, I should try this, and some of it is success. But, like, people who are, like, afraid of trying have literally never accomplished anything. And that's what I think about, is, like, I just want to do hood rat stuff with my friends.
Exactly. And on that
ZP.
Note, ZP. I just want to... Exactly. And, guys, that's going to be it for us today. We're going to wrap it up. Before we go, though, ZP.
Yes, sir.
Zach Attack.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find Flying Axes, your location,
sure.
Tell people about Light Treasons, give all the deets about Here Lancer. It's your time to plug all the holes, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. So fortunately, all of those businesses have the .com of their name. So
they're on the line.
Yeah, so they're on the line, off the wagon, and on OT, on off topic. Anyway, lighttreasons.com, flyingaxes.com, herelancer.com, all of them are on Facebook, all of them are on Twitter. I'm probably easiest to get a hold of either on Facebook or Twitter. So just Zach Pennington, Z-A-C-K. And I like people. I'm a people person. I'm usually really quick to help someone if they ask for help. I'm busy, but I'm flexible. So if you ever need anything, shoot me a message. And
I've seen you at the gym, man. Super flexible.
Yeah, you gotta be something. If you
when
can't
you're
be,
on that pommel horse,
if you can't be strong or fast, just put your leg behind your head.
There you go. That's life advice from a guy that knows a lot about living.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I've been listening since episode one with my good buddy Clay, so I'm excited.
I'm glad that you came on here. And let me ask you too, just one more time before we leave, what is some advice that you could give anybody that's trying to start up mm-hmm. maybe a new business or a project where mm-hmm. they have a goal in mind? What is your advice for succeeding?
Number one piece of advice right here, because there's a lot, right?
Here's a juicy hot tip.
Tim Ferriss, if you're listening. Number one piece of advice is tell everyone your idea. I think the average person thinks that their idea is really special and that it's really secret and sacred, and that if they tell anyone, it'll be stolen and it will fail and they will have given away the Facebook or, you know.
Or they'll look stupid if it does fail.
Or
that was
anything,
always my thing.
Anything. And it has been my experience that 99% of the time, I'm sure it's happened that someone told an idea and something got stolen, but the other 99 times out of 100, if you tell people your idea, they'll offer to help. They'll give you feedback. They might buy stuff from you. They might support you. They might criticize you, but positively, like saying you should try to do things differently. I've just like, I can't even think of a time that I heard of someone sharing their idea with people and getting feedback or saying, I'm going to do this, or I'm doing this now, or I'm thinking about this, or I had this idea. I can't imagine a time, I can't remember a single time where that's ever been a negative thing. And it's this weird thing where I think we naturally are like really guarded, like you're
right.
saying about the podcast. Like, but if I tell someone about my podcast, then they'll steal my podcast.
Yeah. Or they'll think I'm stupid.
And they'll think I'm dumb. And it's like, you know what? Every person that's really successful, people thought they were stupid. Every person who, you know, has an idea thinks it's going to get stolen. And the reality is like, I mean, email me, call me, whatever. I will give you the 40 most recent good, quote unquote, good ideas that I've had. I'll just tell you all of them. Because one of two things is going to happen, right? Either A, you're not going to do fucking anything with it, right? Which is what most people do.
Right.
Or B, you're going to be like, that is a great idea. I should run with it. And I'm like, awesome. Now that thing exists in the world and I wanted it to exist and I didn't have to do anything to make it exist. Now I can go be a patron of your company, right? Like, go start, you know, I'm starting an axe throwing venue. Go start a fucking lawn darts venue or go start a Ninja Stars venue and I'll come hang out there, right? Like, dude, I'm not going to be butthurt that you stole my idea. You know what I mean? Like, that whole concept of the idea being valuable, like, execution is everything. Try stuff. Try it as quickly and as cheaply as you can. And tell fucking everybody. It doesn't matter, man.
I love it.
Yeah. The worst thing that's going to happen is you'll be killed by aliens.
That's the worst case scenario.
And once you realize that.
once you realize the WCS, you know.
Yeah, if you've come to terms with the fact that aliens are going to blow up the Earth soon or whatever, then, like, who cares if your stupid podcast fails, right? Like,
exactly.
Who fucking cares? And, yeah, like, you never hear stories about, like, hey, remember that guy who didn't try that thing? Man, that was awesome.
That's true.
Like, your stories with Kevin, like, you guys just started a brochure. None of the stories were like, remember that time where we drove to that venue 7 hours straight and we didn't have a flat tire and we got there on time and we got paid and the kids liked the music? Like, no. Fuck that story.
Exactly.
It's A, all it never that. Happened. And then right. B, fuck
we
that story.
We never got paid. And we never got there without the van breaking down. That's for sure.
I hate listening to success stories, man. Talk to me about your struggles, right? Success is boring. Success is not interesting.
Dude, failure is where the winning happens.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
or it happens right after failure.
Yeah, basically. But that's where you learn.
Right.
That's how you learn how to win.
Exactly.
Failure is where you learn how to win.
And your education is all you can take with you.
Exactly.
You know, day to day. If you're like Tim Ferriss would probably say this. If Tim Ferriss lost all his money tomorrow, he'd be rich 2 years from now. Like, he's learned so much from what he does that even though he has money, he doesn't need it because he could literally just make more tomorrow with all the skills and, you know what I mean? And like, that's what's valuable. The money itself isn't that valuable. If you got a huge inheritance and you never learned how to do anything and you blew all your money on like coke and whores.
Yeah.
What do you do next?
Exactly.
That's what happens to all these pro athletes.
Yeah.
Right. They learn one skill. They make a lot of money. They get hurt. They lose the money. They can't do anything else because they never developed a skill or a network or anything else to be valuable, you know? And it's a hard position to be in. So just try and learn and then
yeah,
you'll get more valuable. Even if you, like my net worth goes up and down every single day, mostly down, but
yeah,
but my like personal value, I feel like keeps going up.
I agree. Every failure is like a tool for your tool belt and you got to be Al Borland out there.
Yeah.
You got to have your flannel, your beard and your tool belt.
You got to be Batman.
Exactly.
You know,
do you think Al Borland might be Batman?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Why he has abs on the outside of the suit.
Yeah. And not on the inside.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast. Check it out. SeanVersusWild.com, Twitter, at Sean versus Wild, Instagram at Sean versus Wild podcast. And of course it's on iTunes, Stitcher and anywhere else you get your, podcast. Zach, thanks so much for being here, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the, it wasn't iced, just the regular chai latte.
Vanilla.
It was vanilla. Chai. It was clutch. Shout out to Dunkin' Donuts for sponsoring this podcast.
For the clutch latte.
Thanks,
all right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.